Welcome to another inspirational message from Church on the Rock Powell. Thank you for listening. And if you would like more information, you can visit us at www.therockchurch.co.za.
Good morning, church. Excited to be in God's house this morning. I'm excited. Do you have an expectation for God to do something this morning? I hope you have an expectation, man. But how many of you know that sometimes it just feels like the mind can be a battlefield sometimes? You're constantly battling something. It's this ongoing war, and it's a battle between faith and fear. Sometimes you're battling between, I want to trust God, but I still want to have all the control. How many of you are human? It's like sometimes you're battling between, I'm confident in the calling that God has for me, but it's just like, say, we've got this crippling insecurities that can paralyze us from stepping into everything that God's called us. How many of you feel like that? It's like we all, and I believe that I'm going to be preaching a message that not only is something that I have to constantly deal with, and so many of us, but just chatting to so many of us, we all dealing with it, this battle in our mind. And you need to know this, that most of life's battles are won and lost in your mind. Most of life's battles are won or lost in your mind. That's where the real battlefield starts. And the good news is, when there is amazing news, that God's word is powerful. We have God's word. It's not just there to help us. It's there to transform us. It's there to renew our mind. And we can renew our mind through the truth of the word of God. And so if we look at God's word today, and this, we look at 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 4, and it's written by the Apostle Paul, and he was the ultimate thought warrior. He was like, kind of like, you got to renew your mind, he's always talking about how it starts in the mind. And verse 3, it says, for though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. Just think of that. As though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. If you just turn on the news at the moment, you'll see that the world is going crazy. There's wars breaking out everywhere. There's rumors of wars everywhere. But we, though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. See, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. The weapons that we fight with have divine power to demolish strongholds. And the divine power and the strongholds that they're talking, if you go back to the Greek, is dunamis. It's the explosive power of God. And there's akaroma, which is talking about a military stronghold. It's like a castle, a fortress. And if you go look at medieval times when they actually used to build fortresses, it was always built at the center of the city, usually at the highest point in the city. And it was the most fortified place. And if ever there was any trouble, the whole city would run into the fortress, and it was very difficult to penetrate it, and it was very difficult to get through the walls. And this is the kind of thing that happens in our mind. We can get into strongholds, we can get into fortresses of thoughts and patterns. And so what does our spiritual enemy do? What does our spiritual enemy do? You see, he shapes your thinking. That's what our spiritual enemy does. He shapes your thinking one thought at a time, and then puts you in a prison of lies. Put you in a prison of lies. Lies of, I can't trust anyone, I can't trust anything. I won't succeed. I will always be broke. I'll never have a good enough marriage. God doesn't hear my prayers. God doesn't even care about me. I can never make a difference. I'll never amount to anything. And we can speak these lies over our lives. But 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. I love that. We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. And if you're taking notes today, the title of my message is, The Battle is Won in the Mind. The battle is won in the mind. But before we pray, we're going to get our minds ready. We're going to get our hearts open. So repeat it after me. Say it like you mean it. My heart's open. My mind's ready. I won't be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So, Father, we ask that by the power of your living word, you would renew our mind with truth. Set us free from believing the lies that rob us, the lies that rob us from our joy, from our peace, from our calling. And God, may your truth set us free. We pray this in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen. Are you guys awake this morning? Are you guys ready? Are you excited? You're expectant? You guys are the 10:30 crowd. Come on, you're going to be more awake. I understand the 9 o'clock crowd. They're sleeping. They've just rolled into church, but you're the 10:30. Okay, we're going to do something very new. Everybody stand. Everybody stand up. Let's just get to just wake up. We're allowed to be like, okay, turn to your right. Now give the person in front of you a massage. Don't give them such a good one that they fall asleep now. Okay, good. Now turn to your left. Give the other person a massage. Some of you are like, that's so good, I'm going to go take a nap now. You are allowed to laugh. You're allowed to be loud. You're allowed to make a noise in church. We serve a loud God. If he wasn't a loud God, he wouldn't have made thunder and he wouldn't have made my brother. There we go. I can put them both in the same category right there. Come on. So over the next few weeks, I'm going to just be talking about how the battle is won in the mind, and our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. Our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. And both science and the Bible agree with this. So if you do a study on the cognitive behavior psychology, it'll show you that relational challenges, eating disorders, addictions, some forms of anxiety are a direct result of toxic thinking. And you're like, okay, but that's science. But what does the Bible say? Well, Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So as you think, you become. And science is saying that your outcome is based on your toxic thinking. Those outcomes are based on toxic thinking. So as you think, you become. And if the life we have is a reflection of the thoughts we think, then what we think determines who we become. So, what do I mean by this? If you think that you can't, you probably won't. If you think that you can, you probably will. If you are dwelling on the problems, you're going to be overwhelmed by the problems. But if you are looking for solutions, you're going to see some solutions. If you're feeling like a victim, you're going to become a victim. But if you believe that you're an overcomer because of Christ, you're going to become an overcomer. The life that you have is a reflection of the thoughts that you think. The life that you have is a reflection of the thoughts that you think. So here's a quick thought audit for you to just think about. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being closer to worry, 10 being closer to peaceful. Scale of 1 to 10, 1 being closer to negative, 10 being closer to positive. Again, a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being closer to worldly, 10 being closer to eternal. And if you are falling closer to the worried side of the scale, you probably find that you're going to be worried about what people are thinking more often. About the kids, about the future, about finances, about your job, about your health. But if you're leaning more towards the peaceful side, you're going to start seeing that you're secure in God's promises, that you can do what you can do, and that you can trust God to do the rest, and you're going to be full of peace. If you're leaning more towards the negative side of the scale, you're going to probably find that you're more critical of people, or find it difficult, or always finding faults in everything. You're going to be discontent. Everything's going to be hard. You're always going to be too busy. But if you're leaning more towards the positive side of things, you're going to believe the best in people. You're going to believe that life is still a good life. You're going to be optimistic about your future. If you're leaning more towards the worldly side of the scale, your life is going to be consumed with the material possessions. Always looking for the likes on your social media. Always looking for what people like about you. But if you're more towards the eternal side of the scale, You know that your life is a gift. It's a gift that was given to you, that God gave it to you, that you can reach out and you can help people through your job and through the calling that God has for you. So what comes into your mind comes out in your life. What comes into your mind comes out in your life. And no matter what you do, no matter what you have, no matter who or what you know, no matter what you buy, no matter where you live or where you travel, you cannot have a positive life if you have a negative mind. You cannot have a positive life if you have a negative mind. See, your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. So I've got a question for you. Are you excited about the direction your thoughts are taking you? I'm going to say it again. Are you excited about the direction your thoughts are taking you? Because let's be honest, even in my life, there were times that I wasn't excited. I had to do an audit as well of my own life. And I was like, I'm not excited about the direction I'm going. I've got to change it. I've got to change my spiritual goals. I've got to change the way I'm thinking about stuff. I've got to renew my mind. And some of you are like, you sitting there and you're like, oh, I'm a bit more on the negative side of the scale. Like, Jared, how do I renew my mind? How do I do this? Now, I'm going to give you two practical ways to do this. And the first one is, if you're taking notes, is you identify the biggest stronghold holding you back. Identify the biggest stronghold holding you back. The strongholds of, I'm not good enough. My past is too big. I can't trust anything. I've always battled with my weight. Nothing's ever going to change. I'm not good with finances. I'm not good with my money, so it's just going to disappear. I can't get close to God. I'm never going to love my job the way so-and-so loves their job. All my relationships end up just breaking down and falling apart. And you need to understand that negative thoughts change the chemical makeup of the brain. And every thought that is created creates a neurochemical change in your body. And it's actually quite interesting if you start going into the study of everything. And you need to understand that the positive thoughts that we have that create like this surge of rewarding neurotransmitters, and it's dopamine gets put into the system, and that's a legal reward. Just from like thinking positive thoughts, you get this like positive hit, this chemical buzz. How many of you like ever like had a great thought and you just like hyped up and you're good to go? Let's go. And there are so many neuro pathways. There's billions of pathways, little roads that link up everything in the brain. And it's actually quite fascinating. And the more often we think a thought, the easier it is to think that thought again. It becomes your default. And I said this morning, at our house, our dog likes to run out the back door, run to the front, but takes the exact same path every single time. And we've got this nice little groove going out the back door, down the side of the house, into the front of the house. And that path is there. Why? Because it was taken over and over and over again. And what I'm saying is, the more we think about something, the easier it is to do that. Eventually, that path is there, and we just take it without even realizing we're taking. And we end up getting into strongholds and the wrong kind of thought pattern sometimes, and we get stuck in a rut because we just take the path that we can see it there. Let's just do it. And negative critical thoughts create unhealthy, unhelpful neuropathways. And we need to take captive those thoughts. We need to take captive, create new paths in our brain. And what do I mean by that? If you've had a frustrating day at work and everything's going crazy, it's sometimes just so easy to come home and just yell at the family. Take it out on the kids. Take it out on your wife. Take it out on your parents if you're at school or college. Come on. It's like so easy to do that. But maybe we just need to pause. Maybe you just need to pray. Maybe give a family member a hug instead. Maybe you just need the hug. Think about that. Maybe you just feel bad about yourself in the moment, and all you're thinking about is just go to the fridge and eat that whole cake that's in the fridge. Eat all that ice cream that's in the freezer. I don't care if it's the 5-liter tub. It's all going in my belly now. I've done that. I don't know where it goes, but I've done that. It's like, oh, just eat a packet of chips and binge out. But if you're feeling bad about yourself, maybe just go for a walk. Go do a workout. If you're bored, it's so easy to just whip out the phone and just start scrolling social media. And the more you do that, you start getting jealous of your friends because now you realize they got more than you have. And actually, it's just a photo from 10 years ago when they went on that vacation that they're just reposting over and over and over again. And you start feeling like you're a loser because you haven't gone on a vacation, but you don't see hashtag woke up like this. And they've redone the makeup and then taken the photo. But in that time when you feel bored, like, why don't you do a devotional? Get into God's word. Learn something. Go do something practical. Learn something new that you've never learned before. So you need to start to think in a different way. Forge a new path in your brain. And the more you walk that new path, the easier it's going to become to travel. The more you stay off the old path, it's going to get weaker and it's going to be harder to think that way again. So we need to identify the strongholds that are holding us back. And even if you just start with identifying one thing, it'll make a big difference. There's so many things that we face, and there's so many strongholds that we can face, and strongholds of, I'm not lovable. I'm not good enough. I don't deserve anything good. I'm always going to be broke. You're looking at everything, and you're looking at the haves and the have-nots, and you're like, I'm always going to be a have-not. There's helplessness, there's hopelessness, worthlessness, pointlessness. We need to identify those strongholds. Name it. Name those strongholds. When you get home, sit down. What's holding me back? What stronghold is holding me back? Write it down. Name it. Because you cannot defeat what you cannot define. You cannot defeat what you cannot define. You need to identify the biggest stronghold. And the second thing, if you're taking notes, is name the truth that demolishes that stronghold. Name the truth that demolishes that stronghold. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to God. We take captive every thought. That means not every thought is going to be a good thought. But those thoughts, you've got to take captive. And if you look at the Greek, that word take captive is a war term. It's a take captive with a spear, with a sword. And do you know you got a sword? The word of God says that the word, the Bible, is the sword of the Spirit. It's the sword. And a sword is an offensive and a defensive weapon. And we need to use it to take captive those thoughts. The word of God, we can dive into the word of God. Because 2 Peter 1:3 says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. His divine power has given you everything you need. Everything you need. Time, He can give it to you. Patience, He can give it to you. Energy, wisdom, people in your life, resources, has given you everything you need for a godly life. Notice it doesn't say a over-the-top life, an extravagant life. It says for a godly life. John 8:32 says, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. We need to embrace the truth. We need to open that door with the truth. The truth shall set us free. You need to be free today. You need to get into God's word. And you might be sitting here thinking, I can't get it all done. I can't do it all. No, the word of God says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. When you are weak, He is strong. When you're sitting there going, I'm not attractive. I don't like the way I look. Know this, the word of God says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. If you're sitting here going, I'm just miserable at the moment, the word of God says the joy of the Lord is my strength. When you are feeling all alone, the word of God says, my God is with me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. When you're feeling like a victim, the word of God says, you're not a victim, you are an overcomer. We need to get into the truth of God's word, and the truth of God's word will set you free. And if life is always moving in the direction of your thoughts, what comes into your mind is going to come out in your life. You cannot have a positive life with a negative mind. We need to take capture of those lives. You need to replace them with the truth of the word. You need to take hold of them and say, never again am I going to start thinking that. This because I'm not a victim. I am an overcomer. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am the king's kid. Come on. You're the son and daughter of a living king. Don't stay locked in a prison. See, Jesus holds the key. Jesus holds the key. And he can set you free. Come on, let's pray. Father, today, we ask by the power of your word, you would renew our mind with truth. Father, we pray right now that you'll begin to work a renewing in our minds. And God, in the same way that it may take years and years for a lie to ingrain in our neural pathway, we recognize it may take some time for you to renew our mind as well. But God, give us the faith to walk this journey with you, to stay off the path of lives and destruction. And God, create a new path of truth. Renew our minds today, Lord. God, change our thinking and change our lives. As we keep praying today, I want every head bowed, every eye closed. Just stay in an attitude of prayer right now. Some of you are here and you've been struggling with battles in your mind. You're probably struggling with them right now. And you've been trying everything to try and just distract you from it. Maybe you've just been trying to make yourself feel happy. You're looking at relationships, jobs, finances, cars, shoes, whatever it is. And you keep continually coming up empty. You continue to come up empty and you're like, why is that? Because maybe you're trying to fill that God-shaped void with something that is not God. Maybe it's because you're a spiritual being created by God to know his goodness, and nothing in this world will satisfy you but Jesus. Maybe you're trying to find meaning in doing good works to help you just get through the struggles in your mind. And so you're coming to church often, you're serving, you're attending life group, you're doing everything, you're ticking the boxes, and you're still coming up short. Maybe it's because you're trying to find meaning in the things that you do instead of a God who created you. And today you recognize that there is something missing. You're longing for something more. See, 2 Peter 1:3 says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. He has given you everything. And when you step into the fullness of what God has for you, he helps you renew your mind. Jesus is the way. He is the way to the Father. He is the truth and the truth that sets you free. And the way and the truth leads you to a life that God wants you to have. It's a life that is more abundant. It's a gift from God. And if you don't have that life and you want it, I want to encourage you today to step towards God. Because when you call on the name of Jesus, he hears your prayers. He forgives your sins. He forgives your past. He forgives your mistakes. He makes you brand new. And if you hear and you're saying, Jared, that is me. You're saying, that is me. I want you to know this is your time. You need to do something different. There is a better way. Not just a better way, but a better way to think, a better way to live. And his name is Jesus. He is the Son of God. And when you call out to him, he hears your prayers. He hears you right where you're at. Your past is forgiven and you become new from that moment on. So if you're saying, Jared, I want it. I need his forgiveness. I want his grace. Today I surrender my life. I want to give it to Jesus. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm not going to ask you to do anything weird, because every head bowed, every eye closed, to give you some privacy to make this decision. But today, I want to give you that opportunity to make that decision, to say, Jared, that is me. So you might be sitting here and you might be waging a war right now in your mind of, I'm not good enough. How can he love me because of what I've done? My past is so messed up, I need to get it all figured out before I come to him. You need to know right now that is a lie of the devil. It is a lie from the devil. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you have to have everything sorted. Nowhere in the Bible does it say your past has to be clean before you come to him. Only thing in the Bible that says is Romans 10:9. It said if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus died for you and Christ raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's what the Word of God says. And today, you can start to end that battle in your mind by putting Jesus back in the right place, by putting Jesus in that void, by putting Jesus at the center of your life, making him the cornerstone of your life. Yes, you might not change the way you think straight away, but you don't have to do it alone. You don't have to go through it alone. He's saying he'll be with you right there in the midst of it. He'll be helping you along the way. And if that is you and you're saying, Jared, that is me. I need his forgiveness. I want his grace. I want to surrender my life to him. Like I said, I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. This isn't about joining a church. This isn't a religious moment just at the end, a tag on at the end of a meeting. No, this is an invitation to enter into a real, living relationship with the one who loves you right down to the core. And some of you today, you need to make that decision. You need to do something different. Some of you today are sitting here and you're not happy with where your life is going. And the only way that's going to change is by putting Jesus back in the right place. But I am going to ask you, if that is you today, to do something bold. With every head down, every eye closed, nobody looking around. I am going to ask you to do something bold, because on the count of three, I want you to lift up your hand to say, Jared, that is me. I want you to pray with me. Because I want to be able to pray a prayer with you that puts you on the path to an incredible life that God has for you. Because one, Jesus loves you. Two, he died so that you can have a relationship with him that loves you right down to your core, faults and all. He created you. He knows the potential that is inside of you. And three, if that is you today saying, Jared, that is me. I need him in my life. There's a hand, there's another hand there. Today, you can do something different. And let's put Jesus back in the right place. And it doesn't matter if this is your first time. It doesn't matter if this is your 10th time or your 100th time. Today, you can start afresh. Today, you can start moving forward. And if that is you, I don't want you to walk out this building without that opportunity to get to know him in the most incredible way. That so many of us know him like that. Is there anyone else who wants to join those hands? Because right now, you know that you need to make a change. Some of you are still battling those thoughts in your brain, those thoughts in your mind right now. Today, start creating new pathways. Today, start creating them because He loves you. He doesn't want you to be locked up in that prison. He doesn't want you to be locked up in that stronghold of your thoughts that are holding you back. Let Him set you free. Is there anyone else who wants to join those hands? Anyone that wants? Because I don't want you to leave here without that opportunity. There's another hand there. He loves you. He loves you. And you are an overcomer. You are an overcomer. Well, church, why don't we all stand, every single one of us? We're all going to pray this prayer. And if you raise your hand, I want you to pray this prayer and mean it, really mean it. Because the raising of your hand was a symbol of your heart saying, I believe in my heart. But right now, we're going to confess with our mouths. And we're all going to pray this prayer so you don't have to do this alone. You don't have to feel awkward. Every single one of us are going to pray it with you. So many of us have prayed this prayer and really meant it. And it's changed our lives forever. It's put us into a relationship with our Father. And so it's a simple prayer, and it goes like this. Just repeat it after me. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross.
Thank you for dying on the cross.
To save me.
To save me.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For this gift.
For this gift.
And from today, Lord.
From today, Lord.
I call you my Lord and Savior.
I call you my Lord and Savior.
Help me, Lord.
Help me, Lord.
To live my life for you.
To live my life for you.
From this day forward. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Come on, church. Just give them a round of applause. Right now, this is the start of the rest of your life. The prayer is not what saves us. It's our faith in Jesus that saves us. And Cam's going to come up in a little bit just to explain next steps because some of us don't know what to do next. And so she'll just explain. But I want to encourage you. We need to do something different. If we're not happy with the way our life is going, we need to change the way we are thinking. But the more we do that, the easier it becomes. It's like, it's a muscle. You've got to train it. And so I want to encourage you. Let's train it. Let's do it. God doesn't want you to be stuck in a stronghold. And I promise you, if you walk with God, you will reach your destination. But until we meet again next Sunday, share hope, show kindness, and shine Jesus.